My name's Paul Tolley. You're listening to your local community radio station, 2ARM. And as you are aware, we are talking to all the candidates in the upcoming and now very close by-election for the district of the Northern Tablelands. And I'm delighted to have in the studio with me the candidate for the National Party, Brendan Moylan. Good afternoon, Brendan.
Afternoon, Paul. How are you?
I'm very well. So let's start with a little about you. How long have you lived in the electorate?
Well, I'm now 43 years of age, so I would have been living, or I have been living in this electorate for well over 20 years. So I moved to Armidale in 1999 for my studies.
University of New England, I guess?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So I studied law there for 5 years, lived in Albies, and then in 2003 I moved to Moree, and I've been there ever since.
You were practising as a lawyer in Moree?
Yeah, practising solicitor, so I've specialised predominantly in planning and environmental work.
So what made you decide to stand as a candidate in the election? It's a big life change, I imagine. You talk to the family. It's not easy to be away in Sydney a lot of the time. I think all members of state or federal find some of this a bit of a struggle.
Yeah, so look, the main reason I've decided to put my hand up and stand for this job is that over the years, I've seen the exceptional things that government can do for people, and similarly, I've seen the terrible things that government can do for people and for members of our community. And so when Adam resigned, Catherine, my wife and I, we spoke at great length about whether we would decide to nominate. And after some considerable discussions, a few glasses of red wine, we decided.
Helps, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Look, we decided that I would. But you're exactly right. It is a lot of travel. I generally only spend around 100 nights a year away from home, and if I'm successful in this by-election, obviously that figure will increase drastically.
Yes, it requires a whole of family commitment, I think, is the way I'd put it.
Yeah, look, that's exactly right. Kath, my wife, she's very supportive. We've got 3 kids, so it will be a big change, but we're confident that we can do it.
Why the Nationals?
Look, what really attracts me to the Nationals is that we're not a party based on idealism, but rather we're a party that exists purely to serve the regions. So we're a party based on geography, and that's what I love, because quite often government will forget about people living in the regions, and I think that's where Adam Marshall has been so incredibly effective. Mm-hmm. Over the years in making sure that our voices have been heard. And so the principle of the Nats, that is, we're a party based on geography, that's what's really attracted me to the party.
What do you think is important? What are the issues that you are bringing to the election? And I guess also, what have you heard as you've travelled around the electorate from people you've spoken to?
I've been travelling now for around 6.5 weeks, I think. I've been averaging just under 2,000 Ks per week. But the same issues keep repeating themselves, albeit with slightly different
nuance
in each centre and each town. But the big ones are obviously cost of living, law and order, people are sick of feeling unsafe in their own homes, and healthcare in our hospitals. They're the 3 main issues which keep coming up right across the electorate.
I'm a person who's never felt unsafe in my own home, but I certainly would support your initiative around healthcare. I think that's something that really does need to be looked at for centres like Moree and Burrell, Armidale.
Yeah, absolutely. We can build the greatest health facilities in Australia, but if we don't have the staff to actually care for people, then we're wasting our time. And I think what the government can do there, particularly, we have to remember that state government controls the staff in hospitals, federal government controls the GPs. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at our hospitals, the state government has a massive role to play in encouraging and retaining qualified medical staff in regions like Armidale, Inverell, Moree, Glen Ennis, etc. So that's really something that is a huge issue. My mum was a nurse. I know the stress that our health professionals are under. I've got friends that I've went to uni with who are now in healthcare. They do an incredible job, and we need to support them, and we need to encourage them to move to the bush. I think a local general practitioner, when he or she works as a VMO, so visiting medical officer at the hospital, yep, they can do a shift for around 12 hours, and then the locum can do exactly the same shift the next day and get paid around 3 times what our local GP gets paid. And so where's the incentive there for a young doctor to move to Glen Innes, to move to Inverell, when he or she can just stay in Sydney, work as a locum and get paid three times as much? So there's something fundamentally wrong there, and that's what we need to look at.
I think there's another impediment as well, and that rental availability and rental costs, that if you move into an area, you're probably moving into a rental, certainly in the beginning, and that can also be an impediment.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, the state government has such a huge role to play in attracting not only professionals to the regions, but just population as well. If we don't have people feeling safe in their own homes, say at Moree, then as soon as a job's offered at Moree, people will see where it is and they won't even consider it because of those safety, law and order issues. And so, again, the state government has a role to play. It's the nuts and bolts of the level of, well, the three levels of government in Australia. State government's the nuts and bolts. It's where you actually can achieve things.
Another thing that I hear brought up in my role here and moving around is transport. Do you have any views on what we can do with transport?
Yeah, well, look, connectivity is fundamental to the regions again. And so when we look at areas like Armidale, Inverell, Sydney, Moree, if we don't have connectivity to Sydney, then we'll struggle. Now, at the moment, obviously, we have air services to Moree and Armidale. Inverell, you can fly to Brisbane, and then we have the train to Sydney. But it's not only just connectivity, Paul, it's also regional roads. I've obviously been doing a lot of travelling over the last few months, and you can tell the shires that have received additional assistance in terms of the quality of their roads.
Look, I have to agree with you, and when I think of transport, I don't only think of commercial transport, I think of the ability of citizens to drive around in their own vehicles and the safety of roads and the safety of that infrastructure as well. And some of that, as we know, is council, some state, some federal, there's a whole range. And I guess that's part of the system that we have of state, federal, three tiers of government where people will often see a problem area on a part of the road, but they don't know who looks after that or whose responsibility it is or where the funding's from.
Yeah, that's right. But look, while I can, shout out to Glen Innes Shire. I think they've got the best roads in our electorate from what I've seen over the last 6 weeks.
Well, you've certainly done the travel. So you're really making health and personal safety your key planks in this election?
No, I wouldn't say they're the key planks, but they're certainly the main issues which keep coming up, together with cost of living. And we had the state budget handed down yesterday. There's a little bit in it for the regions, not as much as obviously what we would have hoped for. But they're the three issues which keep raising their heads when I chat with people is health, feeling safe at home, and cost of living.
And cost of living is such a difficult one, in my mind anyway, because it's very much controlled by at federal level and by other bodies, and we're part of an international situation with war in two parts of the planet, and that feeds into supply chains and everything. But it's certainly an issue, and I think government has a role to do what it can where it can.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, coming back to the state government being the nuts and bolts government that can actually have an impact on people's day-to-day lives, when you look at the funding that the regions are receiving out of Macquarie Street at the moment, it's drastically less than what we've been used to. Regional seniors travel card, that's gone. Active kids vouchers, which my wife and I use for our kids with their sport, that's gone. The back to school vouchers, that's gone. But when you actually look at the budget, Paul, the savings, in my view, are being squandered to some extent through Western Sydney and to the expense of us. And so I think the job of a local MP in the regions is to develop relationships with the government when the party is in opposition, which is obviously my party at the moment. And you develop those relationships and you work hard. You just be unrelenting with ministers to make sure that your region receives its fair share. And look, if I'm successful, that's what I'm going to be doing.
To be a strong voice, in actual fact. It's interesting, isn't it, when you compete in an election as you're doing, you are competing for the party and for the votes, but if you win the seat, then you represent everybody in the electorate. There's a change of mindset there, isn't there?
Look, there is. The role of an MP is to fight for people people who vote for you and people that don't vote for you. And look, Adam has a really good saying. He always says the politics is second. You have to get results for the people. And if you get results for the people, the politics doesn't matter. And I really like that saying because, and again, coming back to the role of the Nats, our role is to fight for people in the regions, regardless of your political standing. So that's what I intend to do. Just work, be unrelenting to get our fair share.
And I have to bring it up because it's only come through this morning, but your party has just decided to support formally nuclear energy, and it said that energy is a part of the cost of living equation, of course.
Yeah, so the Federal Coalition have made that announcement today. I haven't had a chance, Paul, to get my head around it. I've been on a pre-poll booth at Glen Ennis most of the morning, but there's a lot of steps that need to be taken before nuclear energy becomes a possibility, even much less a reality in Australia. But what I'm excited about is to ensure that we can have a mature, sensible discussion about trying to achieve safe, reliable and cheap power. I don't know about you, but my power bills have been going up relentlessly.
Solar power and photovoltaic. So my previous bill was in credit, and my last one was $58.
Well, I think I need to look into what you're doing because mine are only going one way. So, look, nuclear energy, that's a matter for the federal government. There has to be repeals of laws before that can even, as I said, even be a possibility, much less a reality. So I'm focused on what I can influence, and obviously my first role is to be elected, and then, as you've quite rightly said, the role after that for whoever is elected is to work hard for absolutely everyone.
So the question that we've pretty much finished up with everyone we've spoken to is, what number are you on the ballot paper so that people know how to find you?
I'm lucky last.
Look, thank you very much for coming in and speaking with us and making yourself known to our listeners. We're talking to everyone who's interested and giving our listeners an opportunity to hear, meet you as a person, I guess, through the airwaves and get a sense of what you stand for. So thanks very much again, and good luck.
Thanks very much, Paul. Thanks for having me.